Hey, this is Matt Whiteman from Red Tide Rising. You're listening to Power Rock Podcast. Crank that shit up.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I would like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream. Because today, friends, I have a very special guest on the line, Mr. Matthew Whiteman, lead vocalist of the hard rock band Red Tide Rising. Matthew, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
And man, I got to tell you, brother, it's truly an honor and a privilege to have you on this show, man. I have just been, recently introduced to Red Tide Rising. And I got to say, man, I am absolutely impressed and totally thrilled for this interview because you guys have got some amazing material out there and it really, truly needs to be heard.
Thank you very much. That was kind of the goal, is to kind of expose everything out there. So
what I'd like to do, Matthew, is really is concentrate on the new EP that you have out, Voices. But we can go ahead and maybe start with a little bit of history, if you'd like, about yourself and maybe lead up to the Voices EP. What do you say, man?
Yeah, that sounds good. You know, I'm the lead singer, so I started singing at the early age of 9 years old. Just stuck with it. You know, obviously that changed styles. It was just kind of, you know, here's a fourth grader singing. But I just stuck to it, and we formed a band early on and just did covers and just got a feel for different styles of music. And it wasn't until I was a little young teenager where I started picking up aggressive vocals. And I had a special training from a vocalist that I met here in Denver. He basically taught me how to do vocal control and the health part of it. So instead of just learning how to do screams and all that, it was more training on how I feel during it and how to work less of the muscle and use more of the natural resonators. So it's been several years of intense vocal training, and Voices EP is kind of the start of what I can really do.
Would you consider yourself to be a hybrid vocalist?
Yeah, I would. That was kind of the whole part. The reason why I went through all this training to, you know, do vocal health is when you switch different vocal styles, it, you know, if you weren't trained, it would really mess you up. You know, screams would take a lot of demand, and singing would just be pushing that air out. But when you learn vocal control and you learn how to do that hybrid style, it just feels natural doing it all, where it's like on and off switch. And I've been able to test it on the road by doing, you know, six nights, one off, and to see if it's, you know, holding out, and it has been. So
that's cool, because, you know, there's a lot of bands out there. This is, you know, personally, that they just scream, and it's just, to me, it's noise. But, you know, you turn it into an art. You really do, man.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's kind of a personal goal of mine, to different sounds within each song. You know, it keeps it interesting.
You know, it's funny. I didn't mean to interrupt you, brother, but it's funny because I was going to say, man, when I listen to the tracks on this EP, every song is a little different. You know, I could tell that you put a little different style into your vocals on each track. And I think that's what makes it so epic and so unique, man.
Yeah, that was one of the things that working with Mike Luce from Drowning Pool on it was, he was able to pick out, he understood what I was trying to do. And he was able to basically direct me in the way of, you got this sound A, you got sound B, let's do these together. Let's take this sound, do this. So, I mean, it was great to work with Mike as a producer, and the way he worked my vocals, you know, it was kind of eye-opening, because he saw the potential of what we could do. And before him, nobody was able to get the performance out of me in the studio. It was all kind of less effort in the studio. You know, it was just like the way I practiced everything up into the studio in previous projects. But with the Voices EP, we went in the studio, you knowing the practice stuff, knowing it just evolved into let's do this. I know you can do this. And I've had the time now since the EP release to, you know, master it for live, very close to the EP.
When actually the EP released?
I was back in May. I want to say the 6th, May 6th.
All right, so while we're talking about voices, the one track I want to start off with is called Writing on the Wall. Could you give the listeners some history about that song, man?
Yeah, so Writing on the Wall, it's kind of an introduction to the entire concept of the Voices EP. It's kind of like content is he knows the outcome of what's going to happen. And the whole thing references to the music industry and the lifestyle of an entertainer. You know, as we've seen in comedians and in rock bands, all sorts of stuff, it's a pretty dark path. And the song's about accepting that and trying to find the light in the end of it. You know, kind of he's seen this is what's going to happen, but it doesn't have to be this way specifically, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, man. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Writing on the Wall with Red Tide Rising. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast. Got to say, man, after hearing Writing on the Wall, you know, and I've heard these tracks, it's just raw, In your face metal, man.
Thank you very much, man.
Ah, you're welcome. Listen to this, man. I heard that you guys have just come off of a summer tour with Seven Dust. Tell me about
that. Correct. Yeah, so we played U.S. and Canada on their first half of the Kill the Flaw tour. And it was us and a band, Crobot, and then, of course, Seven Dust. It was quite an experience to go international and see kind of how other music scenes are doing in other parts of the world. I mean, you know, it is Canada, they're neighbors, but it's different out there, that's for sure.
Right on, man. Matthew, you're 21 years old. What is it like to be able to share the main stage with bands such as Seven Dust? I mean, you know, there's not many young guys out that get this opportunity. So, you know, what goes through your head when you have these privileges to do so?
Yeah, I think it's an honor for sure. You know, we've had the privilege of being on stage with In This Moment. We've had the privilege of being on stage with Drowning Pool, Seven Dust now. A bunch of other one-off nationals that we've opened up for in Denver is the, you know, local direct, but it still counts for something. And it's just, I think it's saying something that, you know, here's this 21-year-old up on this stage. People, it takes them a little bit to sink in, you know, what they're seeing. And then once they clearly process it, we hear a lot, like you've been saying, that the EP is so strong and it connects to them. And we heard quite a lot on the Seven Dust runs that, you know, this is the first time that they actually enjoyed the opener. And they thought that the opener was as strong as the Nationals on the package. And that's just the best thing to hear after the night.
Matthew, the next track I want to talk about is You're Nothing But Bullshit. An amazing tune. How about you give us some history on that one?
Yeah, you know, like you stated earlier, that the EP is just raw and, you know, nothing's held back. Well, that's very true. In the in our experience of being a very young band, you get a lot of people that kind of go, oh, you know what, you're young, you got to pay your dues, blah, 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 blah. You know, they make life more difficult than what it should be. And so this song was dedicated to those assholes that had pretty much fucked us over. And it's basically, I'm just calling them out. I'm like, no, you guys are nothing but shit like me. You know, you're fucking, we're all in this together in this, you know, shithole right now. And it's kind of just an in-your-face, fuck you.
I absolutely love the attitude, man, because you're right, man. The industry's fucked up. It's crooked as hell. I don't know. It's almost dying. You know what I'm saying?
It's got a lot of old school kind of values to it still. You know, we are in a new age of music where music is no longer bought. It's, you know, it's more of advertisement at this point to get them to the live show. And people are stuck in the old ways and they don't want to change. They don't want to figure out how to capitalize on the new stuff yet. And that's kind of the issue of breaking as a band.
I couldn't agree with you anymore, man. So I'm going to tell you what, let's go ahead and let the listeners hear. You're Nothing But with Red Tide Rising. Crank it the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. We are back with Matthew Whiteman. And Matthew, man, you know, another great illustration of the song. Very well produced. The vocals are, you know, spot on, man. Totally.
Thank you.
Absolutely, brother. Before I forget, the EP, is that available on iTunes or Amazon, anything like that?
Yeah, it's available on iTunes, Apple Music, if you're a subscriber to that. Google Play has it. Amazon's got it. And we've also got it on our website if you want the physical copy shipped to you, which is redtiderising.com.
Okay, that's great, man. That's great to know. I'll put those links and stuff up on the website so people can check you out. Matthew, let me ask you this. You know, being 21 and you've seen and have hung out with some of the, the best artists on the planet, you know, I mean, or it's seasoned artists. What have you seen differently, you know, since you started singing, which, I mean, not 9 years old, but throughout this, we'll just say this tour, what have you seen that's or may have changed in the music industry as a whole?
There's kind of a lot of different things. Everybody's really still figuring out this change, you know, from selling tons of albums to, you know, being lucky if you get a silver. So it's kind of, especially in the old school guys, it's a little disappointing to them, I would say. But at the same time, you're still filling up these clubs and the fans are just letting loose on you. So it looks like kind of attitudes have changed towards things. Like you see they're less motivated to play until they're actually on the stage and you know, realize, oh yeah, this is where I belong type deal. Just kind of how they treat artists. You know, we had two different experiences between the past tours that we've had. With Drowning Pool, it was like family. It was ridiculous. They checked up on us. They told us stories about them starting up when, you know, we kind of reminded of them themselves, you know, when they started up. And it was just a big old hangout. And then the Seven Dust One, this is more of a, like, grind type situation, you know, long, hard day of work. See them from time to time, you know, catch a quick conversation and then do your thing type deal. So each party has been different that we've been a part of. All of them are still doing it because it's worth it in some point. And I believe that's true in the case of all this. So
would you prefer to play in a smaller venue compared to the larger venues?
I think there would be a difference between playing in front of a crowd where you have, you know, 10 feet of security barrier in front of you and them to when they're right against the rim of the stage. Yeah, it's more intimate when they're right there. I couldn't really answer that question because for the most part, I've only played small venues. You know, I've only had a handful of large gigs that went over like the 1,000 capacity.
Let's talk about the track Suffocate. How about some history, brother?
So Suffocate's kind of the darkest one. And the way we constructed it was kind of very soft vocals, eerie backgrounds with the ahs and the nows going on. We just wanted it to capture kind of this soft but intense kind of place. And Suffocate's the desire to just drown yourself in substances and all that shit, you know, all the crap that's been eating away at these guys before. And that's what that one is, you know, towards the end when it picks up into really heavy and it's like, Suffocate, you know, that's when it just lets loose. It's a strong song. The crowd definitely, it's a shift in our show. Kind of the way we present this live is, you know, we do Riding on the Wall, we do Shit, we do a different song called Unholy, and it's more like, okay, these guys are mad, they're pissed off, and now it goes into Suffocate, and it's like dark, and it's meaningful, and then we end in Suffocate, and we move on to the next part, which is like, now that all this stuff has been exposed, this is what we're going to do. So it's kind of that bridge in the EP that just connects so well. with that, but it's not only just the ones that have died, it's the ones that lives have destroyed. It's also directed to the upcoming bands. We've seen it here in Denver where it's destroyed bands before. You know, it's kind of addressed to everything.
Here it is. Suffocate. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast. Matthew, what I want to do is I want to ask you one more question, man, and then we're going to play another tune and then close the show out, brother. What projects are you guys working on at the moment? Is there any thing coming up in the very near future?
Yeah, we're working on one, possibly two more tours to finish out the year with. But the main goal on the horizon is to take this EP and turn it into a full-length album. Add about six or seven more tracks to it and finish what we started.
All right, man, that's cool. The track I want to talk about next is called New Breed. None other. Amazing tune. How about some history on that?
Yeah, so New Breed is kind of, this is the goal. This is what we set out to do. This is kind of why we're sticking through all this bullshit that's going on. Kind of the desire of what we want to accomplish. New Breed basically addresses what's wrong with everything. The lyrics are just straightforward. Their voices are silent. Thoughts are controlled. Heads are all empty. Need something to swallow. Spoon-fed bullshit to make them behave. It's kind of just everything. You know, you see definitely becoming an issue right now, but just a small part, the way fans behave at shows, it's less of like we're in a pit, you know, having a good time, you know, people moving. It's more like here's phones, hundreds of thousand phones, and everybody's recording the same thing. You know, you see Corey Taylor bash this a lot. Like just one line of that song goes into that. So, you know, I'm addressing several social problems in it. I'm addressing kind of calling people out pretty much again. But the difference is this one in the chorus, it goes, it basically says, you know, I just want to take all this away and start again like when it was great. You know, that's what the New Breed is about. You could basically tie that into that we're calling our fans the New Breed because they're just the ones that we have seen come after the show. Like I said earlier, you know, like we did not expect this opener. You know, they probably expected a band that was on there with, you know, 500 Pro Tools track. Everything is pretty much half-assed and they're just doing this because they're selling merch or whatever. You know, I call those bands the merch bands. But no, we are real musicians playing our hearts out and playing what we believe in. And we're trying to change that attitude that, you know, there's been a lot of crap recently that has just shown up. And the thing is, people don't know that there's still bands like us out there, a lot of us out there. You know, we've ran into several. Crobot was one of them that are playing real instruments and doing real shit on stage and having a good old time, you know, doing old school stuff. So it's kind of that mentality towards it. And I believe that the people that get exposed to it will be able to, you know, help that and spread it and create more of the New Breed. And whatever they hear is what they basically gravitate towards. You know, radio bands always get huge. It doesn't matter what they play. They can play garbage. They're going to be huge because that's what people listen to. They don't know that we exist.
Do you think that, you know, made the statement about you're a real band that plays real instruments? As we both know, you know, all it takes is some audio software and a microphone. And if you know what you're doing, I mean, I can't sing, I can't play, but you know what? I could make a CD if I wanted to. I think what I'm trying to say is that the art of people actually playing, you know, instruments and actually singing without all the technology it's a dying art, man.
Absolutely. That is 100% what New Breed is kind of about. The arts are dying and we're trying to keep them alive.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, let's go ahead and let the listeners hear New Breed with Red Tide Rising. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast. Time to close the show out. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, man. You giving me this opportunity to speak with you, you know, giving the information that you have. And I just want to say that I wish you guys the utmost success in all that you do. And I hope you take the main stage. I hope you take rock and roll, heavy metal, and kick the fucking shit out of it and make everybody just say, that's the shit right there.
Thank you very much, man. That is the goal. And it's always a pleasure being on these shows to get the message out.
Well, there you have it. An interview with Matthew Whiteman, vocalist of Red Tide Rising. We're going to go ahead and close this show out with one more song. This one here is called The Sounds of Voices Screaming. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast. Peace.
Tomorrow, fucking fuck.